This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. There's been no shortage of commentary on NASCAR's Chicago race these past couple weeks. From road closures to noise complaints, residents have made their voices heard. But what about the racing fans? Plenty of Chicagoans can't wait for the checkered flag to fly. So we thought that we'd check in with them to hear what they're most excited about for race weekend. With us to discuss are two NASCAR fans from our area, Neil Elkind from Buffalo Grove, and Oak Park resident Don Anderson. We're also joined by Neil Steinberg, who's written columns about the race for the Chicago Sun-Times. So Neil Steinberg, I'll start with you because you originally wrote a column. It was about your shock over the NASCAR prices, right?
Which I was trying to imagine whether I wanted to go see it, and then I found out they were charging money.
Yeah, and general admission tickets, they range from $269 to $353.
Which strikes me as an awful lot to watch a car zip by. Again, you know, some people took that as some sort of damnation of NASCAR, and it wasn't. I mean, everyone's allowed to have their own passion, although this one seems to be shutting down Chicago for a very long time.
Yeah,
and that was sort of a cri de coeur. Because it's a regular column, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I can, you know, I'm not the only person in the world. I said, you know, do you like this? Tell me why. And
yeah.
It kind of was almost a rhetorical question. And I was surprised and very gratified to have people like Don and Neil who wrote in and very clearly explained what they loved about NASCAR. And
yeah.
I printed those in the next column. I'm not the anti-NASCAR.
You're not the anti-NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
You're clearing up your name. Yeah. So you called on readers to essentially just
explain
why is this appealing, right?
Exactly.
And so were some of their responses surprising to you?
Yes. I mean, some compared it to baseball, and they said this is this archetype of this glory of American power. People were talking about Roman games and the Colosseum and this and that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was some very – people love this, and I was, you know, I was educated by them. We did a whole column of people explaining the glories of NASCAR.
Well, one of those people was Don. So you wrote in. What did you have to say?
Well, I said a couple of things. First of all, I basically noted that auto racing is not less pointless than other sports. It's just the same amount of pointlessness. I mean, golf, baseball, basketball, they're all activities that people enjoy, and it causes people
to get
together.
I mean, I'd argue they're not pointless. I'm a sports fan.
Well, so am I. And so the thing is, I didn't say that they're pointless. They're all about the same, right? And so that's the big thing. And so you love what you love, and for me, auto racing was a family activity that has been going on for literally my earliest memories are of going to the races at the State Fair Park in Milwaukee at Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. And I went to Dale Earnhardt, NASCAR Superman's first victory in 1979,
wow.
and that you know creates a great impression on
those are lasting memories.
Yes,
too.
On a 12-year-old or 13-year-old or however old I was, and so you know it's been part of my family and the things I enjoy for a long time. But I live in Chicago. I love Chicago. So having the two things come together, where Chicago which I love, and racing, which I love, coming together in a very unique way that this is the first NASCAR street race. It's an amazing event that I hope is quite successful.
So, Neil Elkind, you wrote in as well, and you talked about NASCAR Chicago being just a chance for folks to just experience our lakefront here in a new way, right? Do you think that that is what adds to the appeal of a street race in the city?
You know, I think that it is a chance for Chicago to show off something that we take for granted, and that is our beautiful lakefront and our beautiful city. If you had watched the NASCAR race last weekend, they had commentators already in Chicago, and you could tell how excited they were, and they already started showing off the city. And Chicago does have a reputation among certain folks as being a violent place. In fact, some conservative politicians use our city's name as a euphemism for urban violence. And what better way to contradict this than to have these viewers from many of them from the South and from other than urban areas see Chicago at its best. Hopefully they'll say, oh, I'd like to go visit that place.
That's a great point.
Isn't that a great observation?
That
I was so gratified.
Great observation.
To me, sports is the same thing happening over and over again. So the thought that the fan base of NASCAR are the same red state haters who use this as a dog whistle, and maybe, I mean, I don't have a lot of optimism about them changing their minds, but it's possible, I guess.
You know, and Don brought up a great point, Neil Steinberg, where he's talked about, you know, this is the first time that a streetcar race is coming to this city. I mean, does that add to the excitement?
We've reached out to the Southland before. We had the Bassmasters here in 2000. So, look, there's what I call the ice cream truck reflex. You hear the bells. You might not even want ice cream, but you run out with your change anyways because here's your chance. And I've heard from a lot of readers who go, I don't care that much about stock car racing, actually, but if I don't see it now, when am I going to? Actually, I have two more years after this to try it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, you know, it pulls into town, and if you're ever going to, now's the time.
Yeah. And we heard Don's childhood memory. But Neil Elkind, do you remember your first time attending a race?
Actually, I do. But I don't have that huge nostalgia for it. But my father used to take me to stock car races in Shreveport, Louisiana, where I was a kid. And I was more interested in eating peanuts than I was in watching the races. But, you know, if I could just talk a little bit about the appeal of, you know, NASCAR racing, is that it is hypnotic. And, you know, as you watch them, you know, go around and around. And like baseball, it is pastoral. You don't have to, like football, sit there and, you know, give it your entire attention. You can get up, you can walk around, you can get some food. When you come back, it's still going on. And the beauty of watching it as a sport is you can see the entire field. Now, all the cars go about the same speed.
Yeah.
So it comes down to strategy. And there's no better way to see that there's actually a chess game going on in front of you than NASCAR racing, where you can see the entire track.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's hear from Gordon, who's been waiting on the line in West Rogers Park. Hey, Gordon, welcome to Reset.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking it in. Street racing, I mean, that's something you grow up in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, everybody had their street races from small towns to big cities where the kids would get out and drag race and do donuts and things of that nature. But, you know, the county fairs, I remember one up in Wisconsin, Jefferson County Fair, they'd go round and round and you'd get dizzy and have to walk away for a while and come back like that. Your guest already had said it is sort of timeless. It doesn't really matter. You're not picking up these guys. You have a roster of the car numbers, but you're not really pulling for these individuals unless you know somebody behind the wheel. But it's just sort of an odd sport. You know, it's been sort of politicized because of the Southern elements and the whole Confederate flag. But, you know, it is a national thing. There are there are lefties like myself who enjoy the sport, you know, and burning fuel. It doesn't mean I'm an anti-environmentalist, I guess. But anyway,
thanks for sharing.
I'll let anyone else talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate your call. I mean, Don, do you agree with some of what Gordon had to say there?
Well, I think the history of street racing is very interesting. We've got that's how auto racing developed. Mm-hmm. And to the idea of Chicago and auto racing, the first auto race in the United States was in Chicago. It was from Jackson Park up to Evanston and back. It was a street race. So this is kind of bringing auto racing back to its heritage. But NASCAR has predominantly or always raced on purpose-built racing circuits. So this is their first time racing on a street race.
Yeah, and talk more about that, because what I've been curious about is what typical racetracks and fences look like and how it compares to this, like, non-permanent setup that we'll have here
in Chicago.
From a safety standpoint, that's where I was a little worried.
Well, of course, at a large oval track, the speeds are going to be different. So the requirements for the walls and the fencing and things like that are greater because of the associated risks associated with a crash at those higher speeds. This will be a little bit – it'll be fast, but it's not going to be the same kind of speed that they would have at the oval track that – used in Joliet. And that's the interesting thing about this event in this location. If you're a NASCAR fan, up until an event like this, except for, say, Indianapolis or Daytona or Richmond, Virginia, if you wanted to go to an event, you're driving out in the country where the facilities are built. I used to live an hour from the racetrack in Michigan, and from the time the checkered flag dropped till the time I made it home, it was a 6 or 7 hour ordeal because the roads aren't made for this and they're just not ready for crowd control.
I can
control.
See why this would be cool then. I mean, it's come to you at this
It's
point.
Coming to you.
But the flip side of that, speaking of ordeal, is that there are a lot of Chicagoans who are not NASCAR fans and they just see this as this enormous imposition upon our goodwill. You know, they want to get from point A to point B, not only for a month out of the summer, but for two more summers to come. And that I think at least we have to nod in their direction and go, we feel your pain. Thank you for being good hosts and being indulgent. You know, this was done to us and now we have to live with it.
Well, speaking of that, Neil, let's hear from a couple callers standing by. First up, let's go to Christine in Naperville.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you for this conversation. You know, number one, here we are in Chicago with the worst air pollution in the world, which is, you know, from the fires. But my largest concern is the sheer amount of pollution and air pollution caused by this this sport. And, you know, global...
Well, let me reassure you, if you've ever looked at the Kennedy, especially now under the Reconstruction, it's got to be some tiny de minimis, as the lawyers say. I mean, this is a little extra, but how many of our cars they have going around is nothing compared to what we do every day just trying to get to work.
Mm. And it's not like the Taylor Swift concert didn't have a carbon footprint. You know, something's got to light those lights. Something's got to bring all that equipment to town. So everything we do has a carbon footprint.
Yeah, but Christine does bring up a very valid point and one that a lot of folks share. Let's hear, before we run out of time, let's hear from Sharla, who's been waiting. She's in Woodlawn. Hey, Sharla, welcome to Reset.
Yeah, I wanted to, it's my understanding that the first automobile race in this country was here in Chicago, 1895, Thanksgiving Day. And the top speed of those early automobiles in that race was 7 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. That's a fun fact. Thank you for
Thanksgiving
sharing.
Thanksgiving Day, and little boys threw snowballs at them. And they would stop for repairs. I mean, we were a car center before Henry Ford. And so, yeah, that's it took off from where the where the Museum of Science and Industry is now.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap, Neil Elkind, I mean, tell us, what would you tell folks who are attending the race for the first time this weekend? I mean, how should they prepare?
Well,
what should they know?
The one thing I would tell them is, when you have the opportunity to buy earplugs, buy them.
But, the noise.
But
yes.
Can I just say, you know, we seem to be missing one of the pertinent points, and that is the glamour, you know, of this and how it will be associated with Chicago that if you've watched Monte Carlo on TV, to the casual race fan, you're not watching the race. You're looking at Monte Carlo. You're looking at the boats. You're looking at the buildings. We are going to be, for the next 3 years, the Monte Carlo of the Americas. And people all over the world will associate Chicago with glamour.
Hey, I love it. Well, I'm out of time, so I got to leave it there. Neil Elkind and Don Anderson are NASCAR fans from the Chicago area. They're going to have a great time this weekend. Neil Steinberg might still need some convincing. He's a columnist for the Sun-Times. Thank you all. This episode of Reset was produced by Nadia Hernandez, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Stephanie Kim. Take us along for your drive around the city by subscribing to our podcast. We'll keep you up to date on the biggest stories affecting our region and the country. That's a wrap for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you this afternoon.